Grace to you in peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains and brings life. Amen. Amen. Many, many years ago, I spent my first sabbatical, the first 6 weeks living in Puebla, Mexico, learning Spanish. I had gone there from Kansas. To say that it was a little different would be a vast understatement. But the first thing I noticed, we got into town, we got assigned to our household, and as I walked down the street where I would be living, I was just struck by the incredible difference in the neighborhood. In Kansas, where I lived in Lawrence, you walk down the street and there were houses on either side, and there was either a giant garage followed by a giant house with a big front yard, or there was just porches everywhere. You could see how well people lived, how well they took care of their houses. You could see what kind of cars they drove, because just like in Hawaii, they filled their garages with stuff and parked their cars outside. It was all so open in front. So when I got to Puebla, I was so amazed to walk down the street, and it was literally a wall on this side of the street and a wall on this side of the street, and that's all you saw except for the gates. There was a gate, and sometimes there was a door cut into the gate. Sometimes there was a gate that slid back and forth or opened this way, and then a tiny little door next to it. But you could not see anything but the gate. It was so different. Not good or bad, it was just different than what I was used to. So I walked up to Maria Gonzalez's house, where she and her brother had a compound with a dry cleaning business out front, and then you walked through the little door next to the gate. I had no idea what to expect. I opened the gate, and there was this beautiful oasis. Nothing fancy, just a little garden, and the car was parked over here, and another car parked over here, and some boxes stacked over here, and then the house. But all you saw from the street was the gate. So later, as my Spanish got better, I asked her, "So tell me about this." And she said, "This is how we stay safe. This is how we keep what is ours." And she said later on, about the time I left, "It helps with the nosy neighbors." Gates are used in all kinds of ways, as you well know. You get the same experience in certain parts of Oahu when you drive around. You see the same thing, walls and gates. But I'll tell you, the gates here cost more than the houses in Mexico. But the purpose is the same, right? To keep someone out or keep your privacy. So I got to think about that this morning as Jesus, on what we normally think of as Good Shepherd Sunday, which after 37 years of preaching about that, I decided I'd preach about the gate today. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," but Jesus says, "I am the gate." Starts out with that gate idea and then doubles down on the metaphor. I'm also the shepherd. Well, the gates that Jesus speaks of served much the same purpose in that day as they serve today. At night, the sheep were driven into a pen, usually made of stone, and there was one gate. That gate was where the shepherd stood guard at night. And the purpose of the pen was, of course, to protect the sheep from wolves or whatever else happened to be going around, but also from the sheep stealers. Sheep equal currency. It was a way to stay safe. So when Jesus says, "I am the gate," how will you interpret it? I spent some time this week looking up various websites to see how various and sundry people of various and sundry kinds of religious and Christian background see the gate. You could divide them into two groups. One of the groups was, Jesus is the gate. He's the only way to salvation. If you do not go in that way, then you ain't getting in. And they are not kidding. The other group were folks who said, Jesus is the gate who brings life. The purpose of the gate is really connected to the previous story, which is the story of the blind man. It's a long story. You'll get it a little later. But you remember the story. The man is born blind and Jesus does the mud thing and then he... What's that? Are you over there talking to me? Bill's going to do the sermon. I'm just kidding. It's in chapter 9. Of course you remember it. It's in chapter 9 right before this, and we tend to divide these stories up. But he heals the blind man, does all this stuff. What you may not realize is how long that story is. It's a story about not only does he get healed, but in the end he goes to the priest and they say, "What happened to you?" Then he checks his parents and they do all of that. And in the end, what do? Do you remember? Right. And they drive him out of the synagogue. The gate is closed. What I see so much of today in our religious community is closing the gate. Not only in the religious community, but in our political life, in our politics, in our communities, even in our personal life. We close the gate time and time again. If you say something unkind on Facebook, you click a button and you unfriend them. Which, by the way, I have never found to be particularly traumatic. If you're mad at somebody and they call you, there's a button on your phone. Block this caller. Right? If you get mad at the pastor at church, you just stop writing checks and quit coming. Close the door. And in some places, even in Christian churches, if you don't toe one kind of line, then we close the door. Maybe it's because of your race or your sexuality or your political leanings. It might be that you just made an elder of the church angry or upset. But we close doors and gates far more easily than we open them. If you tie this story where it belongs, which is to the story of the blind man, you begin to understand what Jesus is about. This saying, "I am the shepherd," by the way, "I am" sayings in the Gospel of John, your ears should perk up. Ego a me. I am. And you're like, what is Jesus saying now? I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. Those are things that we've got to pay attention to. When Jesus heals the blind man, he takes someone who is out of community and brings full life. And the response of the gatekeepers, shut that door. Just shut it. If what Jesus is after in this pericope and in our life together is to bring life and bring it abundantly, exactly what it says at the end of this text. If we can see Jesus as the gate, will we see Jesus as the gate that is shut and sometimes just peaks open enough for the right kind of people to get through, but make sure that none of the wrong kind of people get through? Is that what Jesus means? The purpose of the gate is to keep us safe, to keep us from death, and help protect us from danger. It is a kind of incarnate love that Jesus brings as the gatekeeper. Jesus calls us together and into one another and into God just exactly as we are and who we are, that we might live through the night and find the day. Some sayings from John. In him was life and light, and it was the light of all the people. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, that everyone who believes may not perish, but have life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says in the 11th chapter. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and only through God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, John 17. Over and over and over again, it turns out that the gate is not about being shut. It's not even our gate. And that might be the problem. Maybe we see the gate as our own, for us to sentinel and keep locked and keep guarded. But it's so confusing when we try that. We always fail because we are not the gate. God is. Maybe we need to redefine not only whose we are, but to remember who we are. We are the sheep. We are the ones who have received the grace of the open gate of Jesus Christ and have not only been called into the sheep pen, but we have been invited in to life itself. So maybe we need to do a little less gatekeeping and a little bit more tending to life. Maybe in that we can begin to be like the blind man and find life itself, life anew, an exciting and powerful spirit-filled life together. Because it turns out when we stop trying to keep people out, some pretty darn interesting people find their way in. So maybe in this new openness, this new grace, we too can open the gate, as I did in that home in Puebla, Mexico, open the gate and find there an oasis, a garden, a place of welcome, a place of unexpected life that is shared not only with us, but with the whole world. I am the gate, Jesus says. I wonder what he means. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with the hymn of the day. It is number 502 in the ELW.